everyone. Welcome to the New Heart Church Leadership Podcast. We believe that as you invest and listen to this message, that your life is going to move forward. So get ready for an incredible message.
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 says, each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you and remain as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for all the churches. What he is, the context here is he's talking to married people, especially ones who, where one spouse has found God and the other spouse has not found God. And they were having, in the Corinthian church, they were having a problem with what should we do now in our relationship? Because I've found God, this other person hasn't found God. Should we stay together? Should we not? Should I just run? Should I not run? They were having some questions about this. And so Paul writes this idea. He says, each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you. So he's not just talking about marriage now. Now he's talking about there's a lot of people in the Corinthian church who have gotten saved, their life has been absolutely transformed, and now they're feeling like, do I need to change something? Do I need to move? Do I need to just be in the temple all the time? Do I not need to be in the temple? Do I need to be out by myself? Do I need to be in this marriage, or do I not need to be in the... This is what they were dealing with. So he writes, each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you and remain as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for all the churches. And as I was reading this, I was reminded that our tendency is to want to change a situation instead of live in it. And so I want to talk about this idea of being able to sit in your situation. The ability to be able to, where we say in our church, stay planted, but I want to go a little further in that and understand that there are situations that you are in that while God has changed your life or God has done something in your heart, or maybe it's not that you have gotten a relationship, you just started a relationship with God, but maybe you have decided to change a habit in your life, or you've decided to do something a little different. And because of that, you're wondering, okay, what should I do now? You know, now that I'm feeling this change, should I change my situation? And the understanding, first, reading this scripture, remain as you were when God first called you. Each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you. So, do you believe that God has placed you in the situation that you're in right now? A lot of us, when we're in a situation that we do not like, we make up things in our mind so that we feel like, I'm not actually supposed to be in this situation. So I'm going to change my job. I'm going to change my marriage. I'm going to change my church. I'm going to change my relationships. I'm going to change my friendships that I've had for this. Just because the situation is not that good. But I wonder, even in a situation that might be a little hard, I wonder if we actually do believe, no, God placed me in this situation. And even though it's a little hard, I don't need to uproot myself from this situation. I actually need to sit in this situation because God has placed me. I just want to read the scripture again. Each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you. So like he's talking to people who are like, I was a tent maker and now I got saved. Should I not be a tent maker? No, be a saved tent maker. So you got your relationship with God has been robust. Should I leave and go do another? No, be right there in the job that you are right now. Be right there in the relationships that you are right now, because in that, that's where God can start speaking to other people. That's where God can start shining out of you. But if we continually want to change a situation, now listen, can God place you in other places? Yes. Absolutely, God can place you in other places. But how many times do we pull ourselves out of a situation and then say later, God told me? And I'm like, did God tell you, or did you just get uncomfortable and want to move? Like, how do you know that God told you? Well, God told me. Okay, did God tell you, or did your feelings tell you? Well, I don't know how to differentiate between God speaking to me and my feelings speaking to me. Okay, if you can't do that, then one of the best ways to differentiate between that is to have a lot of people around you and ask them, hey, I feel like God is saying this to me. Do you think God is saying the same thing to you? That's how you start differentiating between your emotions and God speaking. Now, once you start hearing God's voice year after year after year after year, you can start understanding, oh, these are my emotions, and that's the Spirit of God. But until you get to that place, you need to have people around you that you trust that will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. People around you that will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, because we all know how this is. Okay, I'll get people around me. And then you only look for the people that will agree with you. And you never ask the people that will tell you the hard things. Like some of the best relationships I have, the absolute best relationships I have, are the ones that are willing to risk the relationship to tell me what I need to hear. The best relationships I have are the ones who are willing to risk the relationship with me to tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear, when sometimes I want to move myself out of a situation. When Paul says each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you and remain as you were. Stay in the situation. Remain. Serve. Faithful is always before fruitful. Faithful is always before fruitful. So stay in the situation that you are, but being fruitful also is a matter of what you do in the situation that you're placed in. So you can be faithfully inactive and that won't yield any fruit. So just because you stay somewhere doesn't mean that that's going to automatically give you fruit. Just because you stay does not mean automatically you're going to have fruit. If you stay, you have to be active. So here's the thing I want us to see after all of this. If you stay in a situation that you don't like, what things can you change? Because a lot of times, if we're in a situation that we don't like, we don't love that verse. Stay in the situation that God has placed you. So we immediately uproot ourselves and put us in something else. And then, like 10 weeks later, we're like, I don't like this situation either. And so we find ourselves continually moving from thing to thing to thing because we think it's always about the situation. But if you can sit in the situation, then you will start realizing, okay, I'm not moving from here. But what stuff can I change? Because a lot of times when you talk about a situation that you do not like and staying, you're like, well, I don't want to just be miserable. God doesn't want you to be miserable either. So what things can you change with friendships or maybe a leadership position that you're in, maybe in a job that you don't like, maybe in your marriage things that you don't like, maybe in your family things that you like. God placed you in the situation, but you don't necessarily like what's happening at this moment. God placed you in this situation, but you don't like what's happening financially with what's going on. You don't like the conversations that you're having. God placed you in this situation, but you don't like this or that. How do you continue without being so frustrated that everybody looks at you and like, man, you just hate your life. And you're like, yeah, I do. I have to stay in this dumb situation. No, you don't have to have that. You can stay in a situation and you can change some things, but it just might not be changing where you are. It probably has a lot more to do to changing who you are than where. So how do you stay in the situation and still change? Things that you can change in a situation. I'm going to go through these real quick. They're all A's. So for all of you who like that. And say, oh, good. Okay. Yeah, it makes it easier to remember. Things that can change in a situation. Your attitude. You can change your attitude. So you can be joyful or grumpy. Choose it. You get to choose it. I want to say that again. You get to choose that. You can choose to be joyful or you can choose to be grumpy. One of the two. Yeah, but this and this. No, no, no. You can be joyful or grumpy. You get to choose your attitude. No one chooses your attitude for you. And stop letting the situation choose an attitude for you. Well, it's my identity. No, no. You get to choose your attitude. Every day, wake up, you get to choose your attitude. Joyful or grumpy. And I just don't come back to me with, but you don't know. Stop. You get to choose your attitude. I'm just, it's a full stop, and it's a decision every day. You get to choose your attitude. And so anybody who walks in with grump after grump after grump, that is on you. It's not on everybody else, and it's definitely not in the situation that you're in, because you get to choose your attitude. Second, you get to choose your approach. Meaning, what you can change is your approach. You can go with, we've always done it this way, or I need to learn something new. You can change your approach. What thing that you're doing right now, maybe I need to change the way I'm talking to my kid. Maybe I need to change the way that I'm talking to my spouse, my boss. Maybe I need to change the way that I'm going to this other person. Maybe I need to change the way I'm looking at my bank account and my finances. Maybe I need to change the way that I'm living when I come home from work. You can change your approach or continually do the same thing over and over. And it has nothing to do with changing your situation. It has everything to do with changing what you do. So you can change your attitude, you can change your approach, you can change your alignment. So what that means is you can fight your leaders or you can get unified with them. So you can change your alignment. So if wherever you are, where you have leaders that are in your life, that you're just like, there's always friction and there's always things, you can change your alignment to where you unify yourself, or you can always be fighting and pushing against them and trying to do your own thing and trying to lead with pride because you think you're always right and you're not changing your alignment. You can change, the situation does not have to change at all, but you can change your alignment. So you can change your attitude, you can change your approach, you can change your alignment. Next one, you can change your assignment. So meaning, there might be some things that you're doing right now that you can change. How flexible are you? No, I only do this. One thing that I'll use Pastor Adrian for an example. Yeah, there you go. He started in our church as a youth leader, and then him and Courtney, yes, and then that first, and well, actually, not. And for a lot of different reasons, I'm not going to get into that. But him and Courtney were youth leaders. Then they became the youth pastor, and then they were the youth pastors for a stretch. And then all of a sudden, I was like, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to move this, and we're going to change this. And you could see, especially in your eyes, like, oh. I've always done this. And can I tell you, when you make your life about what you do, like the actual job, then what you start thinking is, I am that. Instead of realizing, no, I am apart from that. My first job is to serve God. My first job is not to be a pastor. My first job is to serve God. And people would look at it and say, well, no, I mean, that's what you do. I could be a pastor, I could not be a pastor. I feel like that's God's calling on my life. But at any moment, if God wanted to change that, then I would change that. Because I am been a child of God. And I serve God. I don't serve him just because I am a pastor. I serve him away from that. So I can change my approach, meaning that I need to be flexible in what I do at any moment, because I am not what I do. I'm not what I do. I'm apart from that. And so when you start changing your, when you're able to change your approach, a lot of times there's a lot of freedom that comes in your life, apart from whatever situation that God has placed you in right now. Because you're like, oh, I can change my approach. I can do this. I can do that. I can do that. I can be flexible at any moment instead of just being rigid, because it's like, no, I'm only this. Next one, you can change your associations. You can change your associations. Associations are people you're around. Do you have new voices in your life, or do you have old voices? This is very important in your situation that you're in. There are some associations that we might have that are keeping us boxed in because they only see us one way. And you got to change those associations. Does that mean you need to burn bridges and hurl bazookas at them and say, I hate you and I hope you burn? No. It simply might mean you need some really good associations that you don't have right now. A lot of times when we talk about changing associations, a lot of people are like, all right, I'm sending so many breakup letters right now. I am get so many things I'm not going to follow on Instagram and Facebook. I'm just going to show them what's it. No. It literally might mean you just need to add some really healthy associations to your life that you do not have yet. I have found that when we start talking about changing associations, people run a lot more to who do I need to cut off instead of who do I need to add into my life. Who are the mentors that I need? Who are some people that are just wonderful people that I just need to have more of those voices in my life? And the more that I've found, the more that I've filled my life with the right associations, the less room I have for the wrong ones. And also, the less volume the wrong ones have in my life. They'll still be there, and they say things and just doesn't even matter that much, because my life is filled with all the right associations. So it's not like you have to go up on Breakup City and just go up and just, it's not that. You really need to start looking, who do I need to add? Who are the people that I just need to start looking? I got to be a lot more conscious of who is in my life. And can I just tell you, I know I'm going a little over, but this is something I could talk about forever. We are really, really bad, and I can just say this, we're really bad about being on purpose with our relationships. There is so much trouble that adds to our life because we are so haphazard with our associations. And honestly, it's so many associations happen just because of where we are. Meaning, like, I'm going to let the people that come into my life that are easiest and that are quickest. I'll say it like this. Relationships have a lot, they have a lot of similarities with health. You're going to cook a really good, healthy meal, or you're going to reach for what's quickest and easiest? Well, a lot of us are like, well, you don't know the day I had, so give me the double cheeseburger. You know, like fast food. Do you know that same mentality enters our relationships? What's the closest and easiest association? Instead of what's the real healthy association that I need to mine and I need to spend some time and I need to be very cognizant of and I need to kind of run them down a little bit because they're not in my circle right now. But man, it's going to help me. And the more that we do that, the more we don't need to change our situation because we've changed our associations. All right, next one, change your assumptions. Change what you believe. Versus what you know. So many of us, our situation stinks because we're just assuming too many things. They don't like me. They think I'm this. They must think they're this. Oh, they said that because they want me to do this and this and this. All these assumptions. Do you know how much your situation stinks because of the assumptions that you have? Some people walk into our church assuming that they're going to get hurt again. Some people walk into this church assuming that they're doing a bad job already. Some people walk into their job assuming that their boss hates them, assuming that somebody's mad at them. And a lot of people walk in assuming that somebody's mad at them because they're mad at themselves. And they've had so much terrible self-talk that they assume that everybody else has that kind of same self-talk to them. And so they walk in already on the defense, and I've met these people before in our church. They walk in already on their defense, and I'm like, who peed in your Cheerios? What's wrong? Why are you so mad? Because they are so mad at themselves that they assume that everybody else is also mad at them. And so immediately they're already on the defensive when I'm just saying, hey, how you doing? And so if you want to change something, don't change your situation, change your assumptions. And challenge your assumptions. Just because you have a thought does not mean it's right. We think our thoughts are so holy and right and perfect. Your thoughts, if they're anything like mine, 95% of them are bat crazy. You need to pull them all out, burn those, and I got 5% that are probably real good. And so be okay with challenging your own assumptions. And if you don't know something, ask. Are you mad at me? Ask it. Are you mad at me? No. I thought you were really mad at me. How could I be mad at you? We haven't talked in 2 weeks. Well, that's why I thought you were mad at me. No, I'm not mad. I got three toddlers. I'm not mad at anybody except them. Everybody else I love because they're not doing things to me. You know, you just ask. Just ask. And you'll be surprised. You see this, guys? How much you don't need to change your situation if you're changing all these other things? Last one, change what and who you ask. Who will you ask? And what will you ask? Instead of, I'll just do it by myself and I'll just figure it out. Do you know how many situations change when you bring other people into whatever situation you're in? But this is probably one of the hardest ones for leaders, because a lot of great leaders don't like to ask anybody anything. They don't like to ask people for help. And they definitely don't like to ask people, well, what do you think? Because it makes them feel weak, makes them feel like they're not doing a good job, and it makes them feel like they shouldn't be in the position that they're in right now. But I have found the people who ask a lot more, not just for help, but also for information, are more successful, they're more happy, they're more light, and they're a joy to be around. And so I have actually no problem with people asking a lot of those things. I have a lot of problem with somebody thinking, you know what, I'm just going to do it by myself, and I'm going to figure it out by myself. Because then what happens is the load gets too large. They start feeling like a failure. So then they start walking around grumpy, which is always one of my pet peeves, is because I'm like, if anything, everybody should be happy. This is a hard thing for me. I wish that it wasn't, but I love when everybody is happy. And so God in his infinite wisdom made me a pastor where I'm always around people who are not happy. And not always, but those people are a magnet to me. And so God's working on that with me as well. But I'm just saying, this is a thing. These things, if we work on them, the joy level goes way high. It does go up. Even in a hard situation, you got really great people around you, you're like, okay, this is better. This is better. At least I got people around me. So who you ask and what you ask is really important.